Yep, okay, we're in chapter 31, which is page 140, 139. We are continuing in what to do in getting yourself self-motivated in this chapter. This goes on for another two chapters after this. This is three chapters more to end this section. So, Vahine af im kishiarech harbe lahamik b'inyane hanal. Even if you think I've spent a lot of time in all of these things that we talked about before, Kishah, Shtayim, an hour or two, and that has always amazed me that he suggests an hour or two. How about a minute or two?
30, 45 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, Limas Benichas Ruch V'Lim Nishpar. Okay, to be brokenhearted. I could be brokenhearted for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, on a good day.
Yes. But he says, listen, a broken heart, a broken spirit, the whole business. Yavol Lidei Atzvus Gedoyla. And what's going to happen? He's going to come to great depression.
Yes.
Okay. He says, "Lo yichush, don't worry." What's the difference over here? Is because this is not really a depression.
Right.
This is a bitterness depression. Okay. There's a difference between a person feeling bitter.
Right.
And a person feeling depressed.
Yes.
Because depression, if you're talking going back to chapter one, maybe. Depression comes from the element of earth.
Yeah.
Slothfulness business, heaviness.
Right.
Bitterness is from the attribute of fire. It's more related to anger.
Really?
Yes. A person feels bitter. There's an energy there. Well, what do you think it's going to come from?
Oh,
is it
going to
come from water? Is it going to come from
air?
You know what?
Bitterness would definitely come from fire because it's often can be a motivator.
Yeah, I mean, up until about 20 years ago, the American Psychiatric Association defined depression as anger turned in. Yeah,
yeah.
It was, and they 20 years ago they said no, that's not right. I don't know how long they. They defined it like that.
Yeah.
Yes, the person was mad at themselves, and therefore it was how their coping skills handled their anger within. And so with the therapy, it was, well, what are you so angry about?
Yeah.
Was what they were focusing on. And it didn't... it didn't go. Okay, because it's two totally unrelated functions.
Absolutely true.
Okay, depression is don't get out of bed.
Right.
And bitterness is, I really hate this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do something about it, is really what the difference is.
Right.
And that's what when he said way back in chapter 26, that if a person's depressed, what should he do? He should say, I'm sorry, I don't have time to be depressed right now.
Mom. Yeah.
And plan the depression. And what happens when a person plans the depression is they don't really get depressed. He says, think about all the sins that he did and all the rotten person that he is and to feel brokenhearted. That's not depression. That's a functioning, basically, self-help session.
It's an analogy.
Like he said in 29, to yell at himself to say you're disgusting and despicable and awesome and awful and bug-like and like a worm, you know, etc. All that jargon. Okay, so this, and there was a caveat, by the way, the Rebbe said, I think it was 1985, that forget about planning depressions.
Forget about it?
Forget about it. Don't do it.
Really?
Just keep going being happy.
Interesting.
If you can stop yourself and say, listen, I'm not going to be depressed right now. I'll do it later.
Then just go on.
Okay. Just do it later. I'll do it later. I'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll be depressed.
Oh, right.
And it'll align with, and I think it had something to do with a Tisha B'Av Nidach. Of when it was the Rebbe Verbrangt, it was on a Shabbos, and I was in Australia, so I don't remember, but I think it had something to do with a Tisha B'Av that was pushed off.
Yeah.
Because Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you do it on Sunday.
Right.
Rebbe Yehuda, so the expression is, Rebbe Yehuda's the opinion, Kivan Shenidach Nidach Legamre. He says, push it off entirely. Since you pushed it off.
Push it off entirely.
Push it off entirely, wait till, you know, until next year.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Unfortunately,
we don't do that. Yeah, I was going to say.
We push it off until Sunday.
Yeah, who circumvented him? I like that.
Right. The Rebbe took it one step further.
Yeah.
The Rebbe said, if you're pushing it off already and you want to push it off completely,
push it off permanently.
Completely means completely.
Yeah, permanently.
Permanently. Right. We don't need Tisha B'Av.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. So this idea of like, honey, please.
Honey.
This idea of, that was a double entendre. This planned depression stuff, okay, if you really needed to do it, then okay. But the Rebbe says, as far as he can tell, nobody needs to do it.
Yeah.
I always thought the depression here meant that regular depression was that I'm upset because I deserve more. That's like modern angst. But I always thought that the tiniest angst was
That's what he uses to fight that. That's the fighting part.
What's the fighting part?
What you're saying. I'll talk to you later. You would have listened to the last couple of classes. Anyway, they're still on the website.
Jeez, I never would if I'd listen to, if I could get on the website.
Yeah, if you get them on the website. Yes. Okay, but Asha asks who Mitzadik Klipas Noga, Velo Mitzadik Kedushi, even though the depression is from Klipas Noga,
yeah.
It just so happens that everything that you eat is from Klipas Noga.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with any type of Klipa whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay? Everything you eat, everything you wear, everything you do is from Klipas Noga.
Right.
So this is also from Klipas Noga. And what do you do with, what's our job with Klipas Noga? Our job with Klipas Noga is to elevate it to Kedusha.
So wait a minute. Depression entirely is from Klipas Noga?
Any depression, he says, Avshas is from Mitzadik Klipas Noga v'lo Mitzadik Kedusha. Even though Atzvus, depression, is coming from Klipas Noga, because even such a Klipa, because there's a usable depression. The one that's going to put you into bed and not let you go out.
That can't be from Klipas Noga.
That is definitely not. That's total, complete, that's the absolute tool of the Yetzer Hara.
Yeah, okay.
But this one that he has over here, that a person is sitting and being bitter, so that,
yeah,
that's a tool from Klipas Noga.
Okay, all right.
Ki Mitzadik Kedusha Ksiv Oizor Hebdomim Kaimai. Well, if you're talking about Kedusha, it says strength and gladness is in his place. Mm-hmm. Hashem doesn't like depressed people. As we see, for example, that prophets couldn't prophesize if they were depressed. You have the story with Yaakov. For 22 years, he's got depression over there, and he has no Ruach HaKodesh.
Right.
As soon as he hears Yosef is alive and he's all happy again, da-da-da-da, he starts prophesizing.
Okay.
Okay, Yaina. Tea, please. Yaina, you know, remember him with the whale?
Sure, of course.
Okay. It said he received his prophecy the first time by Simchas Beis HaSheva, the dancing on the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos.
Uh-huh.
He was in such an elated mood that Hashem said, okay, you think about it.
I'm good for this. Go ahead.
Who would you rather be hanging around? A bunch of party animals or some guy who can't get out of bed? You know? So Hashem says, I don't want to be a part of them. No. The divine presence only rests in happy places.
Yes, it does.
Interesting. And this happens to be the law. When also he says, and so also with the study of the law. That when a person's sitting and learning, the learning has to be, even if it's halacha, which halacha is straightforward. You know?
Yeah.
There are many laws, thank you, and many sets of laws that you can't argue, why is it this way? Because the answer is because that's just the way it is.
It is.
I had the hardest time learning malicha. Malicha is the laws of how to salt meat.
Okay.
There was nothing much to talk about. There's no discussion. You throw the meat on it, the salt comes out. Okay? If you didn't put the salt on, you throw the salt on the meat, and the blood comes out. That's the basic laws of malicha.
Uh-huh. Okay. If you throw the salt down, put the meat on it, the blood doesn't come out.
Those different things. You put the salt in the meat, the other meat way. In the salt. Yeah. You don't have it in a bucket. You do have it in a bucket. You have it on a board. I mean, you know, these things. Okay. There's nothing what to argue about. What happens if I could do it like this? Maybe the philosophically speaking, because there's no philosophically speaking, because you're dealing with physics.
You're dealing with Milwaukee.
Right.
Hi, so, it's like this.
As opposed to say, like, you know, in other sections, like Taruvus, you have a thing over there, if you find a piece of meat in the street, and it's with this many butchers versus that many butchers, and, you know, is there a chance that it came from that butcher shop, and what's the dealing with percentages, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's what to talk about and debate and discuss and philosophize. When you're talking about salting meat, there's no room for
discussion.
There's no room for discussion. This is the way you do it.
Done.
Okay. You know, so maybe this guy's going to say it's good. This guy's going to say, well, maybe it's not so good. But that's about it.
Uh-huh.
And even such halacha, when you learn it, you have to be learning it b'simcha, because this is the will and wisdom of Hashem.
Right.
And every halacha, that's the will and wisdom of Hashem. You know, and it says, even if you, like it said back in chapter 25, even though it's never going to happen, there is a whole section on how to salt hearts. And then it says, oh, by the way, we don't eat hearts because it's bad for your memory.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Now I know how to salt something I'm never going to eat in my life. You know, so. Okay, so.
It's bad for your memory, huh?
Yeah, eating heart is bad for your memory. You'll never see it in.
Interesting.
In any store, even in the old packages of giblets way back when I was like a kid. They never had the heart.
Really?
They had the liver, they had the stomach, they had the neck.
Yeah.
Never had the heart.
Stomach, by stomach, you mean gizzard?
Yeah. Okay. The pupic, yeah.
Okay.
If it is that the depression is in dealing with spiritual matters,
right.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the person saying, you know, I really could be doing a whole lot better than I am.
Yeah.
So if a person realizes that they could be doing a whole lot better than they are, then what are they going to do about it? They're going to go do a whole lot better than they are. Okay? Lachin kasav arizal shafilo dagas avinas ein roya ki im b'shas havidoy. That's why the Rizal says the only time you should really be thinking about a person's sins is at the time of confession, below b'shas ha'tefilah of the Talmud Torah, and not at the time of davening and learning. If the person's saying, Ashamnu, begadnu, gezalnu, I did that, and I did that, and I did that, so then, okay, if you want to say the words, you want to say it the way you're supposed to be saying, so the person should be thinking, well, how was I guilty? How was I acting perfidiously? How did I steal, etc.? Okay, so I told her, I used to learn with a guy who would call me every day on his way to work. He used to go to work at 6:30 in the morning to beat the rush hour.
Right.
Okay, so every morning the phone would ring, 6:30. Hello, how are you? Yes, of course, I knew who it was. Phone rang, I know who it was. Hello. So he calls me one day, the day after Yom Kippur, and he says, you'd be happy to know I was in shul all day yesterday. I said, that's great. And he said, and I did less than half of all those al-chaits. I said, okay, that's great. I only did half of all those al-chaits.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. So then, but it's like davening. Davening and, it's not me. Davening and learning, that has to be with simcha, because that's coming from holiness. And if a person's getting depressed and worried about his sins in the middle of his davening, well, we already talked about that in chapter 20, chapter 27, 20, right. 20 to 26.
Wrong place, wrong time.
So that's not the time. That's just the trick of the Eitz Hara to get you away from doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Afal pikein harikachu amid lachpil esetrachra b'minai udugmasei. But the way of fighting and subjugating the Eitz Hara is the expression to fight fire with fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to use a tool of the Eitz Hara to fight the Eitz Hara. That's where this planned depression business comes in. Okay, which is the Rebbe's, that's why the Rebbe said is we don't need to do that now.
Right.
if you just stay away from the whole deal, avoid the fight, avoid the confrontation, then it's much better. You don't have to deal with this kind of business.
Right.
Okay, so but what does the Alter Rebbe say? K'mamar Rizal, minei ubei abe l'shadi bei dinarga upaga ukiyotze ba. As it is saying of our sages, that what are you going to make an axe handle out of?
Wood.
You're going to make it out of wood. And how are you going to get the wood for the axe handle?
You're going to cut a tree down.
And how are you going to cut the tree down?
With a saw.
With an axe. You got to use an axe.
Indeed, yes.
Okay. So you're using the axe. An axe has a handle.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so you want to cut down the tree. You got to have a tree to cut down the tree.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Cute analogy, right?
Yes,
indeed. Zemer b'chol esav yiyah moiser v'hayisron hu hasimcha haba'acharayitz of kitalikamen. And this, it says, now we can understand the Arizal said that there's an advantage in being depressed. Hmm. And he qualified this back in 26, that there's no advantage in actually being depressed.
Hmm.
That's not the advantage. It's the answer from being depressed.
Right.
That there will be some advantage. And what's that? That's after the guy's depressed. And he has this feeling of joy, which comes after the depression. Take us on. Ach be'emes ein leiv nishbar umariris ha'nefesh al richukim ma'er p'nei Hashem v'hislav shuzo b'sitrach nikrim b'shem atzuz klal b'lashon ha'kodesh. This feeling that the person has, this bitterness and brokenheartedness,
right,
that the person has by the fact that he feels very far away from Hashem, this is not depression, as we said at the beginning of the chapter. Ki ha'asuz hu shaliba timtum ka'evin. What's depression? Depression means that he's got a stuffed heart. He can't move. He is non-functioning. Ve'ein chayas b'libo, he's got no life to his heart. He just can't get moving. Avo mariris v'leiv nishbar adrava ha'yesh chayas b'libo lispalis marmar. When you're talking about being bitter and brokenhearted, there's a lot of energy there.
Right.
And so it's not exactly that we're becoming depressed to fight depression. No. We're fighting fire with a bigger fire, I guess.
Right. It just becomes the wood for the fire.
Yeah, Raksha, who chayas mevuchinas gevuras the kedusha. The thing is this is going to be, this is a lot of vitality, and it's the same source as the depression, which is from severity, but this is severity of kedusha.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using the severities to fight severities.
Uh-huh.
Simcha, he says, is mevuchinas chasadim. That simcha, joy, is from kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be analogous to water. So there is this, plan in fighting forest fires, is they will dig a, they'll cut down everything.
Right.
And then they'll build a small fire.
They'll burn it off, right.
And then they'll make sure that the small fire is under control. And then when the big fire gets to the small fire,
right,
they'll join up. And since the small fire is in control, so they'll control the big fire.
Right.
And that's called a backfire,
yeah,
which very often backfires, yes.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. No, the intent is to burn off the fuel.
Correct.
Burn off the fuel, and when it gets there, so there's no fuel left. It's just sometimes they don't control
the big fire.
The small fire.
Too well, either.
Because it ends up being...
becoming a big fire.
Fire, right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Oops. So, but the surefire way, the surefire way,
yeah,
you know... if it starts pouring, usually it's really hard to have a forest fire when it's pouring rain.
That's indeed true.
So the so it's a lot easier to fight the depression by being happy. You're throwing water on it.
Right.
Rather than trying to dig this whole thing around it and controlling it and, right, and using the same modus operandi as the Yetzer Hara.
Right.
And saying, I'm going to get you where you breathe and use your tools. So the Rebbe said, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Okay. As much as you're doing it this way, doing it right, with happiness. Ki halev kol mishtem, because the heart has both kindness and severity in it.
Do you suppose he saw that we don't have the capacity to do this any longer?
Sure, because once you're going to start throwing yourself into planned depressions,
right,
who says you're going to be able to climb out?
Yeah. Right. I mean, but let's assume that generation they probably had this. I mean, the Walter Rebbe wouldn't have said it if they didn't have the capacity.
These were people who were saying, what do you call it, Tikkun Chatzos, mourning the destruction of the temple, and they really felt it.
And meant it.
Yeah, and meant it.
And meant it, right, yeah. We don't even say it.
No.
And those of us who say it, well, maybe those who say it do mean it. But,
well, you know. I know what I'm doing at the time of Tikkun Chatzos. Yes. It's not saying Tikkun Chatzos.
No. Yes, indeed, yes.
You know, and the Rebbe was an opponent to it. People who would ask the Rebbe about saying Tikkun Chatzos, he would discourage them.
Really?
Yeah. It's not our thing.
Yeah.
It's not our thing to sit and be depressed. We've done that. We did that for too many years already. You know, for 1900 years we sat and were depressed.
It's true.
Do you think the Rebbe ever did it?
That I cannot answer.
Yeah.
I know the Rebbe didn't sleep much.
Well,
yeah.
You know, but
that's true.
The fact that the Rebbe discouraged people from doing it so much, but that's really no indication either, because the Rebbe
discouraged people to eat.
The Rebbe discouraged people from fasting, and he didn't eat a whole lot either.
Right.
So, I can't tell you. Nobody ever came out, none of his, they call them matbachim, these servants that worked in his house, ever said anything about the Rebbe doing Tikkun Chatzos.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that he would never do it when anybody else was in the house.
I'm sure there's a lot of things Rebbe did that nobody knew.
Of course.
Or if they knew, they didn't dare speak of it.
They're not even... I'm sure the first is true, so...
Yeah.
The Friediger... I forget the exact quote, but he said something like... my son-in-law is a very... Not secretive, he said he's a very... Yeah, there's a lot about him that's not known or something like that. Right. Some of that effect.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, he also said that the best time, if you want to talk to my son-in-law... is at 4:30 in the morning, because either he is just waking up or he has not yet gone to bed. Mm. So,
yeah.
Anyway. So vehine le'itim tzorach le'er v'chinas gevuras hakedusha. There are times when it warrants that a person should arouse these holy severities. Kidei lahamtik hadinim, in order to sweeten the judgment. Okay, so that what's happening over here? They have this idea of, it's discussed elsewhere also, of rooting out. I'll give you an analogy. Person has a sickness. You can do one of two things. You can give the guy a pill, and then the pill will make the guy feel better.
Right, treating the symptoms.
Right. Or, what you can do is you can remove the cause, of the sickness, and the guy will feel better.
Right.
Okay? So, being happy all the time might just be a pill.
A pill, right.
It might just be treating the symptoms.
Right.
Whereas this, that he wants them to plan a depression, there's something seriously bothering this person. He realizes that he has shortcomings, and he really wants to work on those shortcomings.
Right.
So for this, he has to act to try and get to the root of the problem. That is called hamtakas hadinim, of sweetening the judgments. Uh-huh. If you get the source of what the cause is, I mean, ideally when you're talking in psychology, what they would like to do is get down to the very basis of what is this person's problem. And then when we know what the problem is, then we can fix the problem.
Right.
Okay, the problem with psychiatry and psychology and this type of therapy session stuff is they usually dance around the problems.
Yeah, they don't often fix it. They may discover it, but they don't know what to do with it once they
found it. So
that's the problem.
So, not that I'm going to speak so bad about psychologists. Anyway, especially since I'm being recorded.
Yes.
So, some of my best friends are psychologists.
That's anyway. A sickness.
Yes, we know. Anybody who goes to a psychiatrist should have his head examined, right? That's ba-dum-bum, Groucho Marx.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Shehem v'chinas nefesh v'hamas v'yetzer hara k'shesholach chas v'sholom ala adam. That what is now happening is the yetzer hara, the animal soul, really has got him.
Yeah.
Because the severity is only sweetened at its source. And he thinks, you know, I can't just throw a little love on this problem. It's not gonna. You know, I can't just smile my way through this one.
Yeah, Pablo won't fix this.
So I'm going to have to root it out, and that's where the bitterness is going to come in. Lachem Arizalo Elam Yagiz Adam Yetzer Tov. That's why our sages say the person should always have his Yetzer Tov yelling at his Yetzer Hara. Which you can do that too with a smile, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get these thoughts in my head, and I just like stop for a second and say, wow, that was a real good one. Where did you come up with that?
Yeah.
You know, forget it. And there's no way I'm going to even think about doing such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to come up with something better there, buddy. You know, so yell at him. Let your Yetzer Hara do a better job. Nah, sorry, no, I'm not going to fall for that one.
I don't know.
That means anytime he feels it's necessary.
Need of it, right.
That's going to be, of course, excluding the times of davening and Torah, because then all he has to do at that time, as he recommended before, is just push it out with two hands, because now's not the time. That really is a trick of the Yetzer Hara. Who am I to be davening? Who am I to be learning? Is an absolute trick of the Yetzer Hara, because when you say, okay, you know what? I'm not one to be davening like this. Yetzer Hara just won.
Right.
But at that point, if a person wants to deal with it and be depressed, let him, you know, schedule it for later.
Right
now, I'm going to daven.
Right.
Okay, when should he have this time, this yell session, when he's yelling at himself?
Sure.
When he's depressed about something else. Since I'm depressed about this already, let me throw something else on.
Yeah. Add a little wood to the fire.
Yeah, this is, you know, I got problems with my kids, I got problems with my this. You know, okay, listen, it's before going to bed over here, and I got a little bit of time before going to bed, and I feel myself, I can give myself a good kick in the pants, and I'm not, you know, the money problems are weighing in on me. So, you know what? I'll take care of my sins too at this point.
Might as well.
Akarain, you know?
Might as well.
Siba, or for what any other cause. Just he just happens to feel that he's depressed. So a person says, for example, has a propensity to falling into depression or melancholy. Okay. What should he do? What does he say? Instead of, if it might be too hard, just to push it out. Because it really takes a lot of cognitive energy to say, no, I feel depressed, and you know what? I'm just not going to be depressed. A person has to be really, really strong to be able to do such a thing. So he says, you know what? Don't do that. That could be hard. Since you're depressed anyway, for no good reason, so go get depressed for a good reason. Start thinking about all the things that you did wrong from the time that you could remember till now, and then see what a louse you are, and start yelling at yourself, and then you'll climb out of depression that way by getting mad at yourself. You'll be able to turn the whole thing around. Okay, that's what he says is a time when you're depressed anyway. To fulfill that, our sages says that a person should always be having his Yetzer Tov yell at his Yetzer Hara. That's what's going to happen is, once he now is crawling out of his depression and his bitterness because of his lack in spiritual accomplishments, so he's crawling out because of the depression that he had for some physical reason or for no reason at all. Mm-hmm. Because once you climb out of the depression, so all the depressions get climbed out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then what will happen is he'll be really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the ideal thing is that a person should never get depressed.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. But to do that, a person always has to be... there is a simple way of never becoming depressed. And that is chapter 33.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay tuned. Okay, we got the rest of 31, we got 32, which is the Avos Yisrael chapter. 33 is the way to never become depressed. The Hainu Shezois Yashuv Elibai. that this he should put to his heart. L'nachamoy b'kaflayim. To feel double comfort. Acher hadvorim ha'emes ha'ele. After these true words. Lamer l'liboy. Emes who came b'li suffik. That he should say to himself. This is what a person has to do now. He's depressed. Here's your prescription. What should you do if a person... What should a person do when they feel that they're depressed? They can't move.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he should say to himself. It's true. Without a doubt. Shani rachik ma'id ma'Hashem b'tachlis. I am as ultimately distant from Hashem as possible. You couldn't get any further away from Hashem than where I am right now. U'meshukitz u'matuv. And I am abominable and disgusting. The word meshukitz comes from the word shekitz, meaning a bug, a crawling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Akol zehu ani levadi hu haguf im hanefesh hachayunis. Shabbai. And what he should realize is, wait a minute. What is it that's shukitz and metuav and marachik from Hashem? What is all these things that's so far away from Hashem? It's not my godly soul.
Mm.
Your godly soul, no matter what you do to it, never loses the connection to Hashem. It is never far from Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, that's one of those classic stories that... what's his name? Mordechai Opsin, who's a shliach in Hong Kong, brought the president of the Jewish community to see the Rebbe by dollars.
Yeah.
And he introduced him, this is Mr. So-and-so, he's the president of the Jewish community in Hong Kong. Mm. So the Rebbe said to him, you are from a place that they say is not close.
Mm.
Instead of saying, because the stuff is, it's called the Far East.
Yeah.
The Rebbe couldn't say about another Jew that he was far.
Yeah.
The best he could get is not close.
Wow.
And he's talking about China, okay? So,
right.
Is anything that's not close to Hashem, it's China.
Yeah.
Okay, so, because the essence of the Jew is never far from Hashem. We have that connection, that tie. Right. Wherever you go, Hashem is right there with you. Okay, and he goes into the schmutz too, like he said back in 25,
yeah,
or 24, where he talks about taking the king's head and sticking it in the toilet. Okay, so the you remember that analogy? That's a very yes. That's okay. That's not easily forgotten. So then, what is it that's far? It's my body. It's my animal soul. My yetzahara. I listen to it. They listen to it. I got tricked into it. I mean, none of these are good excuses. But at least the person should understand that what is it that's far away from Hashem? My godly soul's right there.
Yeah.
That right there, that thought alone should be enough to take care of a depression. If a person honestly believed that the relationship they have with Hashem is like a single entity, not like very close. We're talking single. My essence is Hashem's essence.
This is the part where that no avera can affect, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, that part didn't get affected.
Right.
My body, my animal soul, all that stuff, that gets, you know, dragged through the muck.
Right.
Mekal mekam yesh b'kir b'chalak havaya mamash. There is within me a portion of God. Sheyesh na'afilu b'kal shav b'kalim. And this godly soul is even in the lightest of Jews. That this is the godly soul with the godly, the spark of godliness which is enlivening it, hamalubishbo, which is enclosed in it, lachiyosa, to enliven it, rakshehivukinis gullus. But every time a person does something which is in opposition to Hashem's will, what is he doing? Is he's taking this diamond that he has, this spark of godliness, and sticking it further into mud?
Yes.
And the most awesome diamond, if you stick it in mud, is not going to sparkle.
No.
But it's still a diamond.
It is indeed.
And the more he's doing wrong, the further the diamond is getting pushed into the mud.
Right.
But it's still a diamond. In Ke'arad, Kol Masha Ani B'Tachlis HaRichuk Mashem. And on the contrary, therefore, however much I am far and distant from Hashem, And I've become this abominable and disgusting. Hari nefesh elokei shebi begalus gadol yoser. So the more that I'm doing wrong, the greater is the gullus that my godly soul is in. And the gullus yoser v'harachmanis aleha gedolu ma'od. And therefore, Hashem, we should have cut it some slack, a bigger amount of slack.
Mm.
If I'm a bigger louse, I deserve more rachmanis than you,
yeah.
That you're a lesser louse.
Yeah.
You're just a little baby louse. I'm a big louse.
Right. Mm.
So I deserve more rachmanis than you do. Well, is that, you know, you can say, you're doing less wrong than so, you're doing much better, you're closer, and you have less to worry about, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, I deserve more.
Mm.
Because I'm further away. I'm more of a rachmanis case. Therefore, I'm ready to push aside everything that I have, all my creature comforts, and to rise up and to get closer to the greatness of Hashem. As he talked about before, and he's going to talk about it again in Agaras Hatshuva.
Mm.
There's a prescription which is talked about in the Gemara as to how much tzedakah a person should give.
Mm.
And it says a person should give 10%, va'al yevaz ve'iz yoser mechamesh, and he shouldn't squander more than a fifth. Mm-hmm. You've heard that expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The expression that is used, the verb is squander. More than 20% is called squandering. What happens, the Alter Rebbe says?
This means this is having to do with tzedakah?
Tzedakah.
Right.
Yeah. Not more than a fifth. Okay? Because what's going to happen, the person's going to say, I want to be a really generous guy. I'm going to give away 90% of my income to tzedakah. And what's going to happen?
Living out the community.
Yeah. He's going to have to go knock on doors and become a tzedakah case. So that's pointless.
Right.
So it's considered squandering more than 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So the Alter Rebbe says in Geras Hatshuva, what would be if a person was deathly ill? Would he spend more than 20% of his income to find a cure?
Of course.
You betcha.
Mm.
Only all of it.
Yeah. I mean, to the point that, now, is that going to be called squandering? No, you're talking about the option is seeing my name on the obituary page, right, after Shalom. So that's not called squandering.
Reading it with someone else's eyes.
Yeah, that's not called squandering.
No.
That's called preserving a life.
Right.
My own.
Uh-huh.
So he says if a person would do that physically, well, what about spiritually? As he talks about brings it up when it talks about the person, like if a person gets angry, the Arizal suggests that he fasts 161 times for every time that he gets angry. So he says, if that be the case, then you got a lot of people who are not going to eat for a while.
Right.
And every time it's 161 times. Okay. Mm. So he says, what should he do? It says he should redeem the fasts with charity. How much it costs you to eat in the course of a day, you should eat and give the amount of what you ate to charity. Okay, that's what the Alter Rebbe says. But he says, wait a minute.
It's like we do around, what do you call it?
Before Purim with Matzah Shekel? Are you talking about Erev Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Erev Yom Kippur, when you turn the stuff into the plate, what I'm going to eat, whatever.
Yeah.
So, because you want this day before to be a fast, so however much you're eating on test, you're redeeming. Yeah. That's the same type of idea.
Mm.
So so he asked the question, wait a minute, if you figure you eat, that's not a conservative estimate, we're not talking about going to restaurants, you probably eat about $5 to $7 worth of food a day.
Mm.
So you're talking about 161 fasts, so now you're talking over $1,000.
Right.
But the $1,000 you can't count from the 20%, because the 20% you had to give anyway.
Right.
Even if you didn't sin, you'd have to give the 20%.
Right.
So that doesn't count. So he says, but wait a minute. You told me I can't squander more than 20%, and here it is, I owe an extra $1,000, for example.
Hmm.
Okay. Don't do anything about redeeming how many times you're angry until we get to done with the Garrison Tshuva. Yes. To let the people.
Yes.
Don't do anything about that. Don't, it talks about doing.
Don't try this at home
until we get done with it, because he kind of backpedals on that one too and says, well, there's other things you can do besides giving $1,000 to charity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but he asked the question, I'm squandering more than 20%. So he said, as he gives the example, it would be called squandering if it had no purpose. But if a person's sick and he's going to die, he's going to spend more than 20% of his income for his medicine to save his life. So a person would also give more than 20% of their income to save their soul. What a person would do to go back to where they're coming from,
yeah,
to get their soul back to their father's house, meaning to unite and get back again with, right, Hashem, before it was included, and before it was enclosed in a body. That before the soul came down into a body, it was united in an ultimate unity with the infiniteness of Hashem, mm-hmm, and therefore had these infinite characteristics and qualities.
Mm. Put a tissue box over there.
Okay, and therefore now, so also now, at this moment, I also want to be included and incorporated into Hashem. Just like it was that my soul was totally and completely united with Hashem, I want to feel that it's totally and completely united with Hashem now too.
Yes.
Kishaasim kol magmasi b'teiru mitzvahs lehislavish behen kol eser b'chinei sa'a kanal. As in, I'll put aside all of my own creature comforts, and I'll throw myself into Torah and mitzvahs with all aspects of my soul, with the 10 attributes of the nefesh. As I was talking about, there was a, I don't know who it was, I think he believed he was a Rebbe, and his father-in-law was a little bit leery because of Hasidim and keeping time, which Hasidim have this reputation of being late, not respecting time.
Really?
And so one of the conditions was,
what are you talking about?
I said it's one of these things people think, a misnomer. One of the things, the conditions of them getting married is that he had to daven every morning with a minyan.
Hmm.
Okay, one time, so the father comes in and he sees that his son-in-law is davening, it's like 2:00 in the afternoon.
Hmm.
So he says, what's this? I thought you were supposed to daven with, the condition is, are you supposed to daven with a minion? He said, I am davening with a minion. He says, where's your minion? He says, my minion is my, minion means a number. The minion is my eser koichos and nefesh. A minion of 10, a number of 10 I'm davening with is with all my 10 faculties. Okay, so that's what a person should throw themselves into. But private mitzvahs tefila letzayik el Hashem b'tzar la megalasei begufay hamashukith, and how much, and specifically we're talking about the mitzvah of davening, which the mitzvah of davening is not the same as what we do 3 times a day. What we do 3 times a day is a rabbinic injunction. The men of the Great Assembly said, listen, we have to do something in order to commemorate and to facilitate and to accomplish what we accomplished with the sacrifices. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they sat down and they put together a siddur. Okay, that's called rabbinic prayer. Because how many people actually pour out their soul as they are saying the words of davening, and really have intention that what I am saying today, which is the same thing as I said yesterday, it'll be the same thing I'm saying tomorrow, and I'm really putting feeling into it that this is what I need. So that's only rabbinic davening.
Hmm.
What's he talking about, the mitzvah of davening? It's 5:00. There's a lady, she's making supper, the kids are home from school, They're jumping up and down and everything, the noise level is up around 85 decibels, and the husband isn't home yet, and she leans against the doorpost and she says, God, give me strength. That is an example of prayer, according to the Torah. Mm-hmm. She absolutely means it. And that's exactly what the definition of the mitzvah of prayer is, according to the Torah, is that when you need something, ask Hashem. Okay? So Janis Joplin had it right, but she was laughing at it. You don't remember Janis Joplin, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you do. Okay. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? If I really, if she really believed that she needed a Mercedes-Benz and would daven hard enough, so maybe Hashem would give her a Mercedes-Benz. But that would be, she was, that's her, that would be honest, an honest expression of prayer. Hashem, I really need a Mercedes-Benz. Okay? That's called davening. Whether Hashem answers enough, that's Hashem's business. Mm-hmm. Okay? That how he's That how his soul on the pain which he has, that his soul is stuck in a gullus of the body, which is abominable, and to be taken out of this prison. To cleave to Hashem. Okay, that's a natural means. I'm not talking about people's bodies, souls flying out of their bodies. That doesn't fulfill. That doesn't fill any purpose. Okay, but a person, at least, he should want to have a feeling of attachment. And this was easy for the Alter Rebbe to say, because the Alter Rebbe had a feeling of such attachment to Hashem. There was a Hayyamim this last week. It talks about that the Alter Rebbe, what's the story? The story is not in the Hayyamim. The Rebbe, when he wrote Hayyamim, he just put in like the punchlines. But he didn't put in the stories. It was a very important meeting. I don't remember what the meeting entailed, but the Alter Rebbe had to get to this meeting and he had to be on time. Okay? This was a very crucial meeting. As he's walking out the door of his study, he passes by the kitchen on his way to the carriage, which is sitting and waiting for him. And the woman, his wife, said, mine zogt, and then whatever the rest of it is, my says, not even my husband, it's an expression, mein Mann, which is a way in which really, really like balabatish yidden talk to each other. If there's anybody else in the house, they won't call them by their first name. They'll say mein Mann and mein Weib, my wife and my husband. Because it's not nice to be yelling out names of respective spouses when other people are around. So she didn't even refer to him as mein Mann. She just said mine. Zach, mine says. So the Alter Rebbe said, and this is quoted in the Hayyamim, with one mitzvah I became yours. When he put the ring on the finger. How many mitzvahs does it take to become Hashem's? And it said that he leaned on the doorpost
for 4 hours.
I think it was three, but you get the idea.
It's 4 hours. Yeah, it's a long time.
He was in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
It says about the Alter Rebbe, there's another one of those things. It says that 5 minutes, you hear this, Akiva? 5 minutes before he was going on a trip, you could not tell that he was going on a trip. You know how it is, you know, like catching the 6 a.m. flight. I hate the 6 a.m. flight. Why? Because when I'm going to sleep already, I'm already worried, am I going to miss the alarm clock? So my whole night's sleep is shot.
Disrupted, right?
Okay, because I'm worried, am I going to be able to get up?
Get up, right.
Okay, so, and it's like the nervous of getting here, getting it. To Alter Rebbe, if you looked on his face 5 minutes before he was going anywhere, you never would be able to tell he was going anywhere. And here it was, he had his coat on, he had his suitcase with his belongings, and he's walking out the door, the coach is ready, and he has a very crucial meeting. And what happens, he hears a line, and he hops the dveikus. And he's standing there. I can imagine the wagon driver over there standing and waiting. I got the engine ready, running, Rebbe. The horses have gone through all the oats already. You know, so the I would like to be able to at least experience some of that, where my soul would be able to feel godliness. But it's not going to happen so fast, because Nebuch, my soul, which is a portion of godliness and wants to always feel the connection to Hashem, is stuck in an animal soul and stuck in a body, mm-hmm. which are antithetical to the idea of cleaving to Hashem. How could you possibly get your body to cleave to Hashem, to Kedusha, when the body itself is Klippa? So only the Nefesh Elokis, which is Kedusha, that alone is able to feel this. And this is called Tshuva Maisim Tovim, Tshuva in good deeds, repentance. Okay, that what the person, what is he doing? Tshuva, according to Judaism, is not beating yourself up. Tshuva is realizing, oops, I did something wrong. I'm never going to do it again. I want to get back to where I was before. That's why it's called the word Tshuva, which means to come back. It's not this idea of repenting. I don't think there is a word in Hebrew that you could translate literally as the word repentance. Because repentance is already involving and implying something that, a negative. Tshuva doesn't. Tshuva, anybody could do tshuva, because it's how close you are to Hashem. Mm-hmm. You could always get closer.
So it's really, it's cleaving. It's not like regretting and
there's the two things. It's like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I feel sorry that I did.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure that I never do it again. And if a person's always doing the right thing, then you don't have to worry about what happens if they do the wrong thing, because they're always doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And these are the good deeds that a person does in order to bring his portion of Hashem back to its source and root of all worlds. This is where we're going to stop. We're on page 142, five lines from the bottom.